This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
SB Nation Radio, Pushing the Odds here on a Friday. We are talking a little bit about 420 in sports and the combination of the two, and SBNation.com has done a really cool job of putting out some great content about the connection between the two. We just told you about the Megan Moriarty story that she put out about the history of sports and some of the big milestone years and arrests and issues that have hit different athletes over the years, and a lot of them having to do with fighters in the UFC. I told her the story about the press conference from UFC 202 with Nate Diaz and the CBD oil vape pen that kind of freaked out me and freaked out a lot of people. And MMA Fighting's Ariel Helwani asked him, hey, what are you doing? And I think I learned something that night. I think a lot of people who were watching the press conference that night also learned something. And no big surprise, it was a Diaz brother doing it. But let's talk to Mark Raimondi, MMAfighting.com. Speaking of the sites, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Mark, good afternoon, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I'm great. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of the interesting it's a weird world. The UFC is based in Vegas, and a lot of their fights are here in Vegas, yet USADA's rules supersede the state laws here in Las Vegas when it comes to cannabis and comes to marijuana. Obviously, there are fighters, the Diaz brothers come to mind, but there are other fighters who are very angry about this. Do you ever see the UFC changing their rules or getting with USADA to make it more acceptable for athletes to use either CBD oils or to use marijuana?
So a couple things about that. The state laws in Nevada, as far as a regular citizen, as we know, it's recreational use is now legal as of, I think, this year, right? Same thing with California, where I live.
Yeah.
However, the athletic commissions in the United States, for the most part, and USADA, go by a different set of regulations. It's called the World Anti-Doping Agency Code. And marijuana is still illegal, or I should say prohibited, in competition. And that goes for USADA and the commissions. So actually, the Nevada Athletic Commission just recently suspended a fighter in Nevada. Even though she has a weed license in California, they suspended her 9 months for testing positive for marijuana in an in-competition test. And in-competition basically means a test taken within between the weigh-ins and the fight, and then a little bit after the fight, essentially. It's like, 24 hours kind of within the fight area. So it's not just USADA suspending people. Actually, USADA suspended that woman, Cynthia Calvillo. That's the fighter's name. They actually suspended her for only 6 months, and she can get it cut down to 3 months if she takes a drug course. And the Nevada Commission, even though it's legal in Nevada, suspended her for 9 months, even longer than USADA did.
Yeah, and we talked about that story in the last segment, which is crazy because it was a $6,000 fine she got hit with as well, and she's a top 10 strawweight. She would have fought, so in all honesty, she probably got fined $50,000 or $100,000 more for missing a fight opportunity that she probably would have had at some point over the last 3 to 6 months. And that's just got to be, so infuriating for her, given the fact that she lives in California, she fought in Nevada, she fought at UFC 219 here in Las Vegas, and thus she gets hit with it afterwards. And yet, Nate Diaz did not get suspended in August of 16 for the CBD oil pen that he was smoking on the press conference. So that was it. I was always kind of curious about that. Did you guys report anything? Was there any statements coming out of USADA about that?
Yep.
With Diaz?
Yep, absolutely. So what happened is like you said, he had a vape pen at the press conference, and technically that is still considered in competition. So USADA did an investigation, and they did not suspend him. They gave him a public warning, which is basically just saying, "Hey, don't do this again." Essentially, the reason why he didn't get suspended is because he was under the impression that the window of the definition of in competition closes once you take the post fight drug test. That's what most people thought, is that once you take the post fight drug test, doesn't matter. You're good. You're good to go as far as things that are prohibited in competition, like marijuana. So they gave him a public warning, and what they actually did, Matt, is a few months later they actually changed the UFC's anti-doping policy, which is run by USADA. They changed it so that at least under USADA and the UFC, the in-competition window does indeed close with the post-fight drug test. So you can call that the Nate Diaz rule. He actually, his situation actually helped change the rule for USADA and the UFC.
Interesting. Well, there you go. And that's why we haven't seen anybody do it since. Yet, it is interesting because today Dana White on Instagram, the UFC is going to be pushing a fighter who was seen with a joint in his hand last week at an event sitting ringside, and they're making these tie-dye T-shirts for him that Dana White has put out on Instagram today. Isn't that kind of a two-faced angle there with the UFC going along with USADA's rules, yet they're going to try to make some money off of a kid who clearly had a joint in his hand?
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated because it's only prohibited in competition. So basically, the UFC and USADA doesn't care. You can smoke weed, you know, for 6 months leading up to the fight. You just can't test positive for it in the fight night test. So they're not going to test you for it 4 months out of the fight, 3 months out of the fight. You can only test positive for it essentially the day of the fight or the day before the fight. So if you can just taper off, you know, your smoking leading into the fight. Yeah, the rule under WADA, which is what commissions use and what USADA uses, is you have to be under 150 nanograms per milliliter. So I'm not an enthusiast. I'm not a scientist. I don't exactly know what that means. But basically, if you stop smoking, you know, a few weeks before the fight, you should be able to come in under that number. So it's a weird gray area because it's not completely illegal. It's not completely prohibited. But it is prohibited over a certain threshold only in the in-competition test the day of the fight.
Mark, is that the same rule for cocaine where essentially they're not testing you? And I know cocaine's out of your system in 3 days, but in terms of do they basically say you can do whatever you want as long as you're not in competition?
That's correct. Cocaine is also one of those drugs that is only prohibited in competition. And there was some controversy a few years ago with John Jones. He tested positive for cocaine in a test conducted by the Nevada Athletic Commission out of competition, and they were not even supposed to test him. They actually had to apologize later for that. Jones did get fined by the UFC, but they were actually not supposed to test him. The commission that was a mistake they made because cocaine is completely allowed out of competition. If you test positive for it in the fight night test, you can get in trouble, but they won't test for it otherwise.
Now explain the Nate Diaz situation and why a 5-year suspension was on the table for him. He didn't get that, but it was on the table at one point for him to get a 5-year suspension for marijuana.
Yeah, in 2015, Nate Diaz actually was suspended for 5 years by the commission. They ruled on it, they voted on it, and they said you're going to be suspended for 5 years. And it was one of the reasons was because it was his third offense in the state. He had tested positive two previous times, and I guess they figured that, you know, three strikes and you're out. But that did not hold up. Basically, Nate Diaz's legal team threatened to take it to a higher court. The commission is just an administrative body. So Nate Diaz's team was going to take it to, you know, Nevada Superior Court. And eventually, a few months later, in early 2016, the Nevada Commission came to a settlement agreement with Nate Diaz and only gave him an 18-month suspension.
So in terms of the future of this topic, do you see it changing? Do you see the UFC or USADA or WADA coming around to the idea that you're allowed to use cannabis for anti-inflammation or pain killing and they'll have it no longer be classified as a performance-enhancing drug? Because I find that hard to believe that they do still consider marijuana to be a performance enhancer.
I agree 100%. I think that as more states and as the stigma continues to change around marijuana, I think that will eventually change. But there are still a lot of issues, not just with WADA, but also other state commissions. For instance, Matt, last year, three fighters tested positive for marijuana in a fight in their fight night tests in Texas. Now, Texas does not have that threshold rule that I mentioned before that WADA uses. Because different states have different laws and different regulations, you know, it changes everywhere you go. And states regulate MMA. So Texas has no threshold. So if you just have just a little bit of marijuana in your system in that fight night test, you are suspended, fined, and two fighters actually lost their wins that night in Houston last year because they tested positive for weed. So they had their wins overturned to no contest, which I think is ridiculous because this is not a performance enhancer. This is not steroids.
Right.
This is marijuana. you know, so you had a little bit of weed in your system and you lost your win over that. That was really ridiculous. And USADA, to their credit, did not. I mean, they did not honor that those suspensions or that those sanctions at all, because they were not over the threshold. Those fighters just had a little bit of marijuana. They were not over the WADA USADA threshold. They had a little bit. Texas still took sanctions against them, and that's a problem that we have. Some states don't have any kind of threshold.
Right.
The states that follow the WADA code have that, but some states do not, and that's another issue to overcome in combat sports.
Mark Ramondi, MMAfighting.com. One story I want to ask you before they go, Mark, is just from UFC Atlantic City. Kevin Lee misses weight this morning. He weighed in at 157 pounds. Edison Barboza, his opponent, coming up on Saturday night. I mean, this is going back to Atlantic City, a place where this could be a really big deal if sports gambling goes legal in New Jersey. I could see the UFC heading to AC quite a bit for fights in the future. But from a Kevin Lee perspective and from just a UFC perspective, another weight problem, huh?
Yeah, and Kevin Lee has been very open about saying how hard it is for him to get down to 155. He's been one of the major proponents of an 165-pound division, which I still think is the future for the UFC, for the sport. I think that'll be a division that has a lot of depth, and it won't take much away from the 155 and 170-pound divisions. Kevin Lee's a big guy. He's a big guy. He cuts a lot of weight. He's made no bones about it, so it wasn't completely shocking to see him come in over today.
Not a big deal, though, right? Because this is not a title fight. It's a headliner, but not a title fight.
Yeah, not a big deal. The fight stays on. He forfeits 20% of his purse. I believe half of that goes to Edson Barboza. But you never want to see these weight misses. And if it's a weight miss, it usually means that it was tough at the end for him. He was probably putting himself, putting his body through unneeded stress a day before the fight.
And just to kind of go back to your point about different states having different rules, if that was here in Nevada, he would have been given extra time because he came within the limit of making it, correct? But in New Jersey, he was not given extra time?
Right. It changes every state. Some states, there's like a two, you know, you have 2 hours if you miss weight on the first attempt to weigh in again. Some states, you don't have that at all. It really just depends on the state regulation.
Okay. Mark, great stuff. Thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Mark Ramondi, MMAfighting.com. Some great stuff there, and really an important topic, I think, from a combat sport perspective, because I do think CBD oil, and I do think that cannabis in general, from a pain-killing perspective and anti-inflammatory perspective, would really help fighters. And I commend Nate Diaz. I commended him at that day because I did not know nearly as much about CBD oils as I do today. And that was largely because of that August of 2016 moment when I'm sitting there in the press conference for UFC 202, and there is this vape pen, and I only associated vape with different types of tobacco products. And I learned that night, it can help you in recovery. It can help you with anti-inflammation and pain. So pretty good stuff there to help people, educate people, help educate me about what's available, what's out there for people who are dealing with pain or are dealing with inflammation and things they want to deal with from a non-opioid perspective. Don't want to be taking pills for it, per se. All right, next, we'll say goodbye to a voice I grew up with who passed away yesterday on his birthday. Next, SB Nation Radio.